Hello, hello. My name is Michelle McCullough, and I am excited to be with you today to talk a little bit about LinkedIn. And I'm specifically excited to speak to you, the Latter-day Saint Publishing Professionals Association. And I know we have a variety of people who will be listening to this call, whether you're an author or writer, whether you're an editor, whether you're a publisher. There are lots of different ways that you can use LinkedIn for great success for you and your business, whether you're trying to promote a book or promote a company as a whole. You can use LinkedIn, which is a great business network, and we're going to be talking about that. And I'm trying to give you some specific examples about how you can personally use LinkedIn to help you grow, whether that's a book or a business or it's just a project, whatever it is that you're working on. But I'm also mindful that in doing so, as I give you some suggestions and ideas, you might say, hey, that doesn't really apply to me. So I'm going to encourage you to, with whatever suggestion or option or idea of application that I give you, that you can ask yourself, hey, how can I make that work for me? So my background is in marketing and advertising. I, with my college days, were spent learning about marketing and in public relations. And when I was in school, and I'm not that old, about 20, 15 years ago, in that range when I was in school, social media did not even exist. We learned lots of principles about marketing and advertising that can help us. And I was in an organization called DEX in college, which is the collegiate version of DECA, which is a marketing organization for students. And when I was at Dixie College before, where I got my two-year degree, before I went to BYU, I was in this organization and actually helped pay for my schooling as I did competitive events and also did some learning there. And I share with you this story because in the fall, we always go to this fall leadership conference, and it's a big deal. And one time we met in Park City, Utah, staying up on Nice Hotel, and the very last day of this three-day leadership conference was a Saturday morning, and we had a buffet breakfast. But before breakfast, we had a speaker talk to us about etiquette. She talked to us about food etiquette, how many things we do that are sitting across the table with a meal, whether that's an interview, whether that's a meeting with a client, or even just with friends and family. We do a lot of socializing over the table, and so she talked about everything from how to cut your food to where to put your napkin if you have to get up to go to the bathroom. And she talked about chewing with your mouth closed, obviously, if you really have to burp or if you have to spit something out that you need to get out of your mouth. And so she talked about all of these things before we got to eat. So after this very long, it was only an hour, but when you're hungry and you're a college student, it took a long time, but I felt like she had offered some practical advice. And so the idea was to put that into practice with this buffet breakfast. And so I go here with my friends to the buffet, and breakfast is one of my favorite meals of the day. There were all kinds of choices, everything from pancakes and bacon and sausage and fruit and pastries. And so I filled up my plate with a variety of items so I could have a little bit of everything, but my plate was full. And as we got to the end, that's where the beverages were. And there was this whole juice bar, and you could get grapefruit juice or orange juice or cranberry juice or milk or whatever you wanted. And so I wanted some orange juice, and I figured out that I couldn't hold my plate and pour a drink at the same time. And so we were discussing going back to the table or just coming back. And then my friend said, hey, why don't you hold the cup and I will pour? And so I thought, oh, great, teamwork, we can make this work. And so I held out the cup, and she started to pour, and we both quickly realized that this seemed a little bit awkward, and we didn't know what to do, and I said, hang on, let me put my plate down. And so I went to go put the plate on the edge of the table, and I didn't slide it in quite enough. So the half that was not quite on the table, as you can imagine, flipped over, went all the way down the front of me, down my pants, and was on the floor. And I sat there, embarrassed, still holding my cup that she is pouring, and not quite exactly knowing what to do. We both stopped. I then carefully set the cup down on the table, and then I stand there for a minute, quickly bend down, pick up everything, put it back on my plate, and then I stand up, and all of my friends are gone. They have left me to be all by myself in this embarrassing event where I have to find a worker to say, I'm so sorry they spilled on the floor, try to give them a plate, and then I have to decide what to do about my clothing. And I have syrup and fruit juice and eggs all down the front of me, and I can't go change because we had checked out of our hotel rooms because we're leaving that day, and all of our stuff is on the bus. So I go to the bathroom and I get some water and I clean myself up as best as I can. Of course, there's water stains all over my pants, which is also very pleasant. And so then I go get a plate and then I get food. And then by the time I get back to the table, all of my friends are done and they're quite embarrassed for me. And though they're not laughing at me, they're doing the next worst thing. They're completely ignoring me. And so I thought about this and I thought about how this is a lot like the way that we do marketing. And whether you have a full-on marketing plan or whether you are doing bits and pieces, we fill up our plate and our marketing plans with all kinds of different things to do. And then just as soon as we figure that out, something new comes along. And so we need to get some juice to get poured into us. And for us, that can be social media. And so for all of us who have done traditional marketing for years, our plates are already full, and then we're trying to add one more thing. And LinkedIn or any social media outlet can really feel like that. And then sometimes when we try to add one more thing, that's when everything else falls, or we feel like we should only focus on social media. And so today I want to talk to you about how to take the best sampling and how to use them on your marketing plate so that they can bring you the greatest results. And I specifically want to talk about how to put LinkedIn on that plate. And I don't want it to sound like LinkedIn is the only thing that you should be doing, but I hope that you'll consider that as an overall part of your marketing plan. Now, today we're going to talk about LinkedIn in three different segments. The first thing that we're going to talk about is just get some LinkedIn introduction, some statistics that you might want to know. The second thing that we're going to do is to talk about the four different types of social media status updates and how they relate to LinkedIn specifically so that you can tap into the conversation that's happening there. And then after we discuss what to say on LinkedIn, I'm going to share with you a couple of other tips on ways that you can utilize LinkedIn that are a lot different than other social media outlets. So you can kind of figure out how to dive into that conversation a little bit better. So let's first start by talking about LinkedIn and some statistics that are there. But before I do that, I want to share with you my definition of marketing. And my definition of marketing is sharing the right messages to the right masses through the right mediums. And I just look at that like a triangle where messages is at the top, medium is at one tip, and masses is at another tip. And you need all three of those to be in alignment in order for your marketing to work. So anytime you consider adding something new to your plate, you have to ask yourself the question, does this help me get the right messages to the right audience through the right channels? And so sometimes we look at it and say, well, I need to be on LinkedIn, instead of saying, well, can I share the right messages and can I reach the right people there? But there's one other piece of that definition that I think is really important. So marketing is that trifecta, sharing the right messages to the right masses through the right medium. But the last piece of that is so you can make money. And if you aren't making money, I don't call that marketing. I call that wasting your time. Now, for a lot of us, we have messages that we're sharing that we want to share in different outlets, that we want to share to build either brand equity or expertise, or if you want to build thought leadership, or if you want people to know who you are, that's still part of marketing, even if it doesn't lead to a direct sale. But I do hope that as you consider adding any new outlet to your plate, that you're considering how it can help bring you a return on your investment, because social media can be a time suck. So I want to make sure that you're also getting the revenue from that as well. And so when you think about adding LinkedIn, I want to make sure that it's the right thing for you and it's not the thing that tips your plate over because you're adding something else, but that you're doing it because you really are trying to get to the right market. Now, a lot of people, and before we specifically talk about LinkedIn, one other thing I want to say about choosing social media outlets is that especially in the small business space, or if you're a solo entrepreneur or if you're a small business, maybe you have a dedicated person of one that is in charge of marketing, whether that's you or whether that's someone on your team that really has that as a full-time job. I believe that in small businesses, you can really only be in one or two outlets powerfully. It's really hard to be everywhere. It's hard to be on Twitter and Facebook and Snapchat and Google Plus and Instagram and Pinterest and LinkedIn and Snapchat and Periscope. And so you start to add all of these other things, but then some of our marketing favorites start to fall off the plate because we are adding in so many social outlets. And we're adding them for extra work, but we're not really building a sense of community in any one of those places. So if you do decide to add LinkedIn, I hope it's because you feel like it's one of your primary or secondary sources, or that you feel like you've mastered some of your other outlets and you want to reach into a new network, in which case LinkedIn might be great for you. Now, I like LinkedIn a lot. I do a lot of work in the business-to-business space. It works really well for the ways that I reach out to event planners and meeting planners for my speaking business. So I speak on marketing, but I also speak on leadership and peak performance. And so it's been a great way for me to find other business professionals. But I also enjoy the conversations that happen there. I think generally speaking, LinkedIn tends to be a little bit more professional, a little bit more meaningful conversations, where we can kind of get distracted in the everything but the kitchen sink is happening on Facebook and Twitter, and it's hard to keep up in those conversations. But since they're the central focus of the professional outlets that we have, LinkedIn is kind of a topical conversation that makes it easy to dive into. Now, some of you listening to this might say, well, you know what, I really don't know if LinkedIn's going to work for me. I'm not going to listen to the rest of this call. But I hope you will, because one of the things that I think is underutilized, under-tapped into LinkedIn is the conversation of religion and also the ways that you can bring in some of your own thought leadership in a market that's not oversaturated. So there's a lot of great ways you can use it. LinkedIn is still the world's largest professional network. It has over 347 million members. It's got members from 200 countries and territories around the world. 28% of the users are from the United States. 70% are out of the United States. Now, that is really good to know that this is an outlet where you can reach other people in other countries to help expand your message. If you want to be in other places, especially where we live in an internet world and people can buy your products, it's a great way to share to lots of different countries, lots of different nationalities, and to really reach a world audience. So the same can be said for some other social outlets as well. I do like that aspect of it. 27% of all U.S. Well, excuse me, sorry, that's the wrong statistic. 47% of individuals who access LinkedIn on a weekly basis access via mobile. So 53% are still looking at it on their desktop. So we're getting to the place in 2016 where those numbers are starting to even out. So I point that out because some of the information that you post on mobile will be different than you would post for those who are watching on their computers themselves, whether at work or at home. And I'll give you just a quick example of that. People who are accessing on their mobile are usually doing it because they're killing time or they're winding down at the end of the day or they're waking up at the beginning of the day, and they're really not in it for long, deep conversations. They're in it for quick tips and information. They're just trying to get a handle of what's going on, and they're really sifting through with their thumb really quickly. So for your mobile users, you want to provide really quick, concise messages, one or two sentences. You don't want to have long posts because they're not going to take time to read them. Graphics are really good for the mobile users because then they can see something really quickly and kind of get an idea of it about the brand. But I say that also not ignoring the desktop users, because where some social outlets really are 100% mobile, Instagram being one of them, and though they do still have a computer web interface for people to look at online, they can't post pictures there. And so though some of them are exclusively mobile, the same principles kind of apply, but you still have desktop users. And those desktop users are in a place where they're interested in looking at deeper content. So you have to provide both. And so you might want to alternate the messages that you put out there. One of your posts could share what's going on. It might be quick, and then the next post might have a little bit more detail or might link them to a blog post where they'll have more time. You'll need to reach the needs of people's information and the way that they want to grab that individually. Another statistic you might be interested in is that 44,000 daily mobile job applications are submitted. So people are not only sifting through the information online through their phones, but they're also applying for jobs on their phones, which I think is interesting. So if you're looking at LinkedIn as a way to recruit, consider how you can make your application process simple for people to do online while without sacrificing the integrity of the information that you need. Let's go here. Two new members join LinkedIn every second, which is a lot every day. 50,000 posts per week are put on LinkedIn. And information about the demographics, the core users are between the ages of 30 and 49. They're often well-educated, which means they have either an associate, a bachelor's degree, or better. And so they have some type of higher-level education with a degree. 39-plus million students and recent graduates. This is the fastest-growing. They're starting to see LinkedIn as a place where they can get job information, where they can reach out and connect with brands and businesses in bigger ways. And so we're starting to see The next age group of 18 to 29, really increased as well, especially in that 22 to 29 range where they become graduates and they want to use LinkedIn as another source for getting jobs. As you're probably aware, in the business space, job placement, generally speaking, is at an all-time low for institutions. People are graduating from colleges and universities without jobs immediately, lower than ever before. And so LinkedIn is a way for people to start doing that, even in college, where they're getting on, and while they might not be consuming the information, they're trying to build connections with brands. So I share with you some of that generic information just as a way to plant the seed about what LinkedIn is and how people are using it so that you can say, okay, well, I talk about this or I do this, and this is the way that I can tap into that conversation in a more powerful way. So knowing a little bit about it is great. If you don't have a LinkedIn account, they're pretty easy to set up, and I think they're kind of fun. One thing that I recommend for users to any new platform, whether you decide to do this or you decide to start on Snapchat or Periscope or something else, is to really dive in. So if you think you might want to start on LinkedIn, I would suggest creating an account, setting up your profile, and then I suggest playing in LinkedIn and clicking on groups and clicking on companies and clicking on and seeing how the recommendation section works and clicking on how you can add past jobs. And just spend some time getting to know the outlets before you ever start to post. You can start to see the people, the things, and the conversations that are interesting that people are reaching out to, and you can also start to see how people are using it in a better way so that you can be contributing to the conversation rather than showing up with something that doesn't mesh or match. But LinkedIn is great. There are ways for you to connect with individuals at companies easier than ever before. Sometimes if you're looking for a specific organization, you can just search, hey, I really want to talk to somebody at Nike. You could put in Nike marketing and you can start to see the people that are in there. Pertinent to your business, you might be looking out for distributors. And so you could put a specific distributor in and then look for distributor new publications. And so you can just search for those things and you'll start to see people come out. Maybe you want to tap into some events or some author events across the country, and so you could go in and you could type meeting planner book authorship or book events, and you'll start to see the people who are doing meeting events in that industry, and if you needed to tap into some new places to get your book seen or get your company seen, that could be a way that you could utilize LinkedIn that way. But just like any other social network, LinkedIn is driven by content. And so if you want to succeed in LinkedIn, you'll want to be sharing powerful content that drives people to the conversation, that helps establish you as an expert, shares your expertise with information that you can provide, but also so that you can start to decide, how do I want to build my company in this? How do I want to promote a book in this? Or how can I add value to this conversation? So I'm going to share with you what I call the four different types of social media status updates. There are four of them, and I'm going to share with you how often you should use them as well. But if you're taking notes, something simple to remember, an easy way to remember is that they all start with the letter S. The first type of post is what I call serve posts. The second posts are called socialized posts. The third posts are sign posts. And the fourth posts are sales posts. So let's go back and talk first about service posts. Service posts are anything that you're doing to showing up to serve online. As individuals and as businesses, we want to utilize our marketing, and we really want to get that return on investment. We really want to make money with the things that we do. And so sometimes we approach social media from a service standpoint or saying, hey, I've got this book, or hey, check out this company, when really people aren't ready for that message yet, because first they need to know why they care about you and your brand. And so the first type of post is just showing up to serve in the outlet. So you might want to find tips or advice or information either from you as a business or from you as an individual, however you're trying to establish yourself on LinkedIn. If you are a person, then you want to do that on your personal profile. If you are a business, then you would also set up a company profile, and you'd be sharing information, tips, and advice from a business standpoint as well. You can share quotes. They can be quotes from you. They can be quotes from other industry leaders. They can be quotes on your specific area of expertise. If you write about philosophy or theology, you could find quotes from others in the industry as a whole. It doesn't necessarily have to be LDS, depending on the kind of brand that you want to do. If you want to be specifically LDS, then you probably stick to general authorities and LDS authors. If you talk about theology as a whole or religion as a whole or even religious freedom, you might find quotes from other people as well so that you can share those different pieces of advice for industry leaders. The goal is if you think about social media, at its core, it gives you the opportunity to be the media. So think of your personal profiles and think of your company profiles on LinkedIn like you would a magazine. So what kind of information can you share? What kind of value can you bring to the table so that people want to consume your information and are also willing to look at your advertisements just like they would in a magazine? So in addition to that, you probably would want to write posts, write blog posts. You can link them on your site, but later we'll talk a little bit about posting on LinkedIn and using LinkedIn like a blog, and I'll tell you a little bit about that. But you can link to your own blog posts. You can link to blog posts from other authors in the industry that might be valuable. You can share trends and information, and this works really well in saying, hey, just like I mentioned, how 20 years ago when I was learning about marketing, sitting in a classroom, social media wasn't even thought of yet. In fact, websites weren't even there. And now there are over 2,000, 3,000 social outlets that we even know about, and there's even more than that. And although there are our top 10, social media has completely changed the marketing landscape, so we have to figure out how to balance those traditional and emerging strategies. So you'll want to talk about the same thing in your own industry and in your own business. How are people consuming books these days? What percentage of books are being consumed on digitally, on e-readers, versus being consumed in print publications? How are people working in the publishing space? How many titles are you taking as a publisher a year? Versus what you used to be taking, has that changed? People care about that insight and information, and they care about the why behind it too, and that's part of the way that you show up to serve online. You can share features and benefits of your products or services or your company as a whole, but you have to be really careful about that because we often, when we do that, we can say, oh, hey, I wrote this really great book. The greatest part about this book is it helps you look at church history in a different way. And so one of the things that I was really drawn to was this part of church history and why that really brings such a rich heritage to our religion. And so I really enjoyed writing about that and researching about it as well. So that can be a way that you can share the features and benefits by saying, hey, I picked this specific thing in doctrine or this specific thing in history, and I want to talk about it, and the reason why this book is valuable is because it offers this, this, and this. But just be careful that it doesn't slant too far to sales or else it falls into the sales post and isn't adding the same kind of value. So the other thing that you can do, which is a little bit different in the book industry than it is in the product or service industry, but share results that people are having. Now, obviously, you can do this in a kind of a pushy or a salesy way, so be careful how you do it. But if you have a really happy customer or a really happy author or a really happy reader that has worked with you and you want to share a testimonial or referral in some way, do it in a way that really features them, not you. And here's the way that you do that. So instead of saying, hey, we just got this great email from a customer, they came into our shop to buy a book, and they loved it, and they had this great experience, and they made them fall in love with books again. So that still is a little bit too self-promotional to be a service post, but what you can do is you can say, hey, listen, I want to tell you a story about Susan. And Susan has been an avid book reader for many years, and she used to have this tradition of going to the bookstore every Saturday. And she stopped doing that because she felt like she didn't have a place to sit down or anything. And so she decided to give our little bookstore a shot. And in that process, she figured out that because we added this thing, that she was able to fall in love with reading again, and she hasn't read in a really long time. And so we're so grateful for her sharing her experience with us. We're so grateful that we could provide that as a resource. And we just wanted to give a shout out to Susan for XYZ. Now, obviously, that wasn't the most perfectly worded writing thing. You writers and editors are probably rolling your eyes, but off the cuff examples, I wanted to give you something that says, how can you make it about the person rather about you as the author or you as the company so that you can share those results that people are getting or the ways that their lives have changed or their testimonies have grown in a way that is more powerful than just saying, hey, somebody said these nice things about us, we'd really like you to see it. The idea with service posts is really to provide them with valuable information. and for them to see you as a resource and to see you as the go-to place for everything in your industry. And if you want to be known as the writer that writes all about happiness and finding happiness in the church or whatever that is, then you'll want to be sharing information and tips that help people say, she or he is my go-to source for all things of happiness in the gospel, or whatever that is. So start to think about the kinds of messages that you want to share. And what I tell my clients is ask yourself this question. At the end of the year, or at the end of 6 months, or at the end of 12 months, what do I want to be absolutely clear about me or my company through this outlet? And so if you know that umbrella thing, maybe you really want to be branded as the number one publisher for LDS culture. You really want to be branded as the number one author on this specific subject, or you really want to be branded as the top LDS fiction author for 2016 or 2017. Then you can start to say to yourself, okay, what kind of information can I provide that really adds to that? Now, I know that in our humble circumstances, it can be hard to say, well, I don't necessarily want to have that lofty goal, but I really want you to get clear about what your goal is or what your message is, at least, so that you can say, do my posts provide value to help me reach that ultimate end goal? So that, in a nutshell, is service posts. Okay, the second type of post is socialized posts. When you talk about networking, it's really, really easy to just be spouting information all the time. I have referred to social media before, and I heard this from a friend right when Twitter started, that Twitter is like a cocktail party. And you would never go to a cocktail party and stand on the table and say, this is what I do, and this is who I am, and this is the kind of thing that I write about, and everyone should come buy things from me. Buy books, buy my books, because they're the best books. Or everyone should use my company because it's the best company. And so I think it's really important that if you go into that outlet, you realize that it really is a two-way conversation, where you wouldn't stand on the table and say that at a party. You don't want to stand and say that in a social media outlet. But you want to ask people good questions. You want to provide value and ask questions. So you might ask other people to weigh in. Give them an opportunity to take the microphone. One of the things we were able to do at Startup FrameFest and some of our best successes in social media have happened around conversations. And so when we were first starting in Twitter, before LinkedIn was even around, we started having startup chats on specific conversations. And so we would do 1 week on marketing, and we'd do another week on hiring and firing, and we'd do another week on legal, how to choose the right legal structure for your business. And we do another week on social media, another week on media. And we started just asking people questions. What are your favorite marketing tips? What are your favorite marketing outlets? What's the best marketing advice you've ever received? What's the best marketing book that you've ever gotten? And so we were asking them questions, and they were interacting with us, and they got to have an opportunity to share their thoughts and their feedback. And they weren't doing it from an expert standpoint, but they were doing it from a startup standpoint. So how can you apply that to your business, and how can you do that on LinkedIn? Because one of the things that it really did for us is that we became, for a lot of people, a resource. We were providing value, we were asking questions, and we were making it a two-way conversation where people could connect with us as a brand and as individuals within that brand, and they could also get the information that they needed as well. So we became a media resource, and as a result, we were able to grow that following to about 329,000 followers. And we still grow because we're still contributing to that. And we've applied those same principles to other outlets to say, okay, that's one reason why I want you to choose one or two, because especially as a small business, especially in a really niche market like religion or LDS religion especially, you have to figure out how in that niche to build a sense of community and define those people who are having and want to be having those same conversations. Whether you decide you want to be talking to LDS professionals, or if you want to be talking to Christian professionals and expand outside of the religion, or if you want to be talking to anyone in the religious space, you need to make those kinds of decisions. And then it depends on how you're going to interact on LinkedIn. But because we focused on that outlet to begin with, and we made that our one or two, we were able to build a sense of community there instead of spreading ourselves too thin. I love the quote by Tiffany Peterson that says, I would rather have one 100-foot deep well than 100 one-foot deep wells. And the principle is that in order for you to get the kind of water, the resource that you need from the social outlet, you can't just try to be willy-nilly in lots of outlets. And so if you are going to pick LinkedIn, having that two-way conversation through questions is really great. And so giving people the opportunity to ask those who, what, when, where, why, how questions and ask them an opportunity. I love tell me questions too. So tell me what's the best advice you ever received, or tell me the first time that you felt a spirit. Tell me how you interact with your coworkers when they have a different religion than you, or what are some of the things that you say when somebody says, are you a Mormon? What does that really mean? And so you can ask those kinds of questions and get the people in your audience to really be involved. And I think questions are a really big part of really making that social network work. Now, on LinkedIn, you really want to make sure there's a slant towards business and information somehow, if you can, or being mindful that they have two different lives. And so you, even if you have something that's really focused on the lifestyle, at least mention the professional part. So you might say balancing work and life can be really difficult. And in fact, many people believe that life balance is a myth. How do you maintain your relationships with your family and your faith when you do spend so much time at work? And so you can still ask those questions that really are personal, but you've said, hey, I am mindful that you are probably in the professional world and you're tapping into the conversation that is really topical. So social life questions are great, and it's the second type of social media status update. I hope that you really open up that two-way conversation. People come online to social media outlets for two things. They come online for information, and they come online for connection. Now, that's different than going online as a whole, because somebody might go online to Amazon or Walmart or Target or Zappos to make a purchase, but no one comes onto a social media outlet to buy. They come online for information and connection, and those first two social media types, the service and the socialize, make it really easy for people to get those two things met. And then once they feel like they've gotten the information and the connection, a sales post from time to time won't bother them. Now, I'm going to tell you about the third type of social media status update, and that is what I call sign. Now, you might want to write in your notes the sign up. So getting them to sign up for your email list. I feel like getting people to sign up for your email list is one of the most valuable uses of social media outlets, and including LinkedIn. But one of the things you have to do is you have to have a catch page or a landing page or a lead page where you can send people from LinkedIn to your website that immediately grabs their information. You've probably seen these before, and many of you probably have them on your site, but you might have something like get the top 5 tips for maintaining your faith when you work in varying environments, or whatever it is specific and pertinent to your business. If you work with authors, and you want to attract more authors, you're probably going to tell them the 10 biggest mistakes authors make when they submit their manuscripts, or the top 5 tips to getting your manuscript noticed by an editor or publisher. And so you start to share, you want to get people's email address so that you can email market to them separate from social media for those who really are interested in learning more from you. And you're providing value for them by saying, hey, I'm going to provide you this free resource, this free ebook, or this free audio in exchange for your email address, and then you can nurture them throughout time. And if you would like some examples of these, I'd be happy to send them to you. And also, if you have any questions about any of these things, I know that we weren't able to make the live call work for some reason, but if you have any follow-up questions, I would love to answer them for you. I want to be a resource. I want to help make sure that you can dive into LinkedIn, and I know that you might be having some questions. And I'll share this information again at the end of the call, but if you'd like to reach out to me, you can find me at Michelle McCullough on LinkedIn. You can also email me at Michelle, M-I-C-H-E-L-L-E, at speakmichelle.com. That's S as in Sam, P as in Paul, E-A-K, M-I-C-H-E-L-L-E.com. And I'm also happy to take texts or calls at 801-592-1101. So as you go through these, if you try to figure this out, some people will say, hey, you know, I don't really want to grow an email list. I can't see how that can help my business. Or you might even be saying to me, hey, Michelle, you gave us an example of filling our plates too full. I feel like adding email to my already busy marketing plate and my business plate and my writing plate is just too much. But I really feel like growing an email list and nurturing those prospects who may not be interested in you now, might forget about you as they start to sift through all the other posts. But if you can grab them with a grabber or provide them something of value in exchange for that email address, as you nurture that prospect, it can turn into book sales. It can turn into the right kind of authors and audiences. And so I really feel like one of the best ways to quickly get to that return on your investment is to use a growing email list. Now, you can also use the sign category for your social media status updates to cross-promote. So, for example, you might say, hey, I love this business conversation that we're having here on LinkedIn. If you're on Twitter, I share quick tips, advice, and information on blank there. Follow me here. Or you can say, thank you so much for following me on LinkedIn. I love the conversation that we're having. If you'd love to see more of the quotes and advice that I share, check out my Instagram profile. So whatever your primary or secondary is, use these time kinds of posts to cross-promote to your other social outlets. And I love to leave a little line in there so that people can see that it might be a little bit different content or I might go into greater detail. And so the way I use it is if I'm on Facebook where I share more long-tail content, and I might say, hey, join me on Twitter where I share quick tips and information daily on growing a business. Or join me on Twitter where I share quick tips on leadership and peak performance to help you operate and grow in your life and business without burning out. And so I'm telling them that they're going to get quick tips and information over on Twitter, and vice versa on Twitter, I might say, hey, follow me on Facebook where I dive deep into conversations on leadership, peak performance, and success principles. So that they get the idea of, oh, yeah, I really can't do all kinds of details, or I really want more information on this. And so they can choose, do I want Twitter or do I want Facebook? But you're giving them the idea of how you can do that. So in the sign-up post, you can either get them to sign up for your email list, or you can get them to cross-promote to sign up for your other social outlets. Now, the fourth type of social media status update is sells. It is okay to sell on LinkedIn. It is okay to tell people that you have a product or service. It's okay to talk about promotions that you might be having. If you're a big publisher and you have a big sale coming out, or if you have a promotion going on in your business and you do something business to business, maybe you're a writer and you write your own things, but you also want to write for other people and you want to talk about those services, you can do that as well. You can share product highlights. You can share company highlights. You can share staffing highlights or author highlights. You can also do those without a sale through service posts. But through sales posts, if you wanted to highlight and then also lead to a link for convert them into a sale, you could do that. And so you can, but the question is important to say, okay, well, Michelle, how often can I sell through social media and specifically in LinkedIn? And these are the numbers that I use in my business and I use in my clients that make all the difference. So I think 50% of your posts need to be service posts. They need to be tips. They need to be information. It needs to be value. So half of your posts need to just be showing up to serve through that outlet. And it sounds like a lot, but it's totally doable, and it will bring you the greatest return on your investment for sure. The second is socialized posts. So 25% of the time, you should be socializing and asking questions. On signups, that's about 15% of the time, and for sales posts, that should be about 10% of the time. So let's just do some quick numbers, because I know the next question that you're going to ask is, well, Michelle, how often can I post on LinkedIn before people really want to poke my eyes out? The answer is different for every company and business, but I suggest that you start by posting about 3 times a day. Now, you might find people saying, hey, you're posting too much, or they're not really interacting with you. You might go down to 2. You might find that people are really liking your content and you can go up to 4, but I think that you should start with about 3 posts a day. And you can choose to do Sundays or not do Sundays, but let's just say that you're going to do 90 posts a month, depending on what you do. So if you know that and you know the percentages of the different types of social media status updates, well, it gets really easy to start doing math. And you can say, okay, well, of those 90 posts, 45 of them need to be service posts. I need to find tips, I need to find advice, I need to find quotes, I need to find blog posts, I need to write about blog posts. And so 45 of my posts on LinkedIn need to be value and service. And of those, I have 25% that need to be socialized, so that's going to be about 22 questions. 72 questions in the month. You would need to just sit down and you could brainstorm all the questions for the entire month in one sitting, and you would be able to decide what those are, make sure that it's good content, make sure they're good questions. I recommend that when you're just starting to ask questions that you ask really surface level questions. So some of my clients, for example, that are in the financial services business, they can't ask questions like, what was the biggest financial mistake you made? Because that will bring up a lot of shame or guilt or embarrassment, and they won't share. And the question will go out like cricket, and no one will answer. But if you ask a question that says, what's the best financial advice you ever received? They can talk about someone else, and they'll share valuable information. Even if they don't always take that advice, it's an easy question to say, oh, hey, I have an answer to that. I know the best financial advice I ever received, and I still do it. My grandma always told me that I should blah, blah, blah. Now, in your business, that's going to be a little bit different, but whenever you're talking about religion, especially in a business standpoint, you might want to be careful about how deep your questions are. And you might want to be quite careful about how you can ask those questions so that people feel comfortable. So the best way to test that is just to ask your family and friends, hey, if I were to ask you this question in an online format, would you be willing to answer it? Ask your friends, ask your spouse. And there's often a way where you can get to the end result the same just by stopping the question or asking a little bit lighter so that people don't feel like they're being put on the spot. But your sign-up post, you're going to use about 13 to 14 of those a month. And you'll sell about 9 posts of the month out of the 90. So what I do for my social media, especially since I am a small business of one, and I'm trying to figure out how to get to all of my resources and to do them as best as I can, I create a bank, what I call my social media bank, a social media status update. I create mine monthly because I've gotten to the point where it's easy for me to say, okay, well, I'm 90. And so I'm going to go in and, or whether I'm doing this for myself or I'm doing this for a client and I'm writing on their behalf, I'll go in and say, okay, I'm going to do 90 posts on LinkedIn. I'm going to write 45 posts of tips and information. And I'm just going to think through the things that I want to talk about. I'm going to go look at my blog, at that blog post. I might curate some of that content. You can repurpose content. So if I write a blog post for my blog, I'm going to go in and pull out some 3 or 4 tips that are in there, and then those each become a social media status update. And so I can create a lot of my content in one sitting, and then when the day comes, I'm not sitting there on my LinkedIn profile saying, oh, what should I share today, and how can I slap that towards business, and how can I make that professional, and how can I network with someone, and how can I reach out to the person that I need to. I have my content, and that is at least the base foundation, and I've done that. Now, some people choose to do it weekly, and they'll do the posts for the week. Other people will do it for the whole month. However you do that, one of the things I recommend is just doing that in advance. And you'll save a lot of time. You won't be sitting there at your laptop or on your phone trying to decide what to say because it's already been done for you. You can keep it on a Google Drive, so it's always on your phone, always on your computer, wherever you are. You can just post those posts throughout the day. And you can just decide, okay, well, I'm going to do 3 today, and they're going to be this variety, and I'm going to do 3 tomorrow, and it'll be this variety. You're going to follow that platform as best as you can. So we've kind of dived into the time section of this as well. I think social media is awesome, but I also don't want it to take over your time schedule. And so if you can do it this way, you can do it in what I call the 2-2-15-15. 2 hours a year, 2 hours a month, 15 minutes a week, and 15 minutes a day, which is totally doable. There are some people who spend 8 hours a day through social media trying to build a platform and build an audience, but they're really not spending strategic time because they're not providing the right content. They're not doing the right socializing. And so if you think about that for you, we talked about sitting down and creating what the umbrella question. What is the one thing that you want people to know about you as an author, individual? What are the things that you want people to know about your company? So you might spend 2 hours in a team meeting or by yourself brainstorming your overall objectives within social media. It doesn't have to take long. Decide what your goals are. Decide how you want to grow your following. Decide how you want to share and decide what you want your overall content message to be on that outlet. So you can probably do it in about 2 hours. Now, 2 hours a month is probably what it will take you to write your social media posts. So whether you do that in 1 2-hour sitting or you do 4 30-minute sittings once a week, you can sit and you start creating content. Maybe you do that to begin with so that you can just start to keep your brain flowing. And sometimes I'll get an idea for a post and I'm driving, and so I'll just give myself a voice memo or open an app that I have on my phone for reminders, and I'll just say blah, blah, blah idea for a tip on for my social media. And then when I'm doing that in the week, I'll just go pull those tips that I and ideas that I had while I was driving around. So 2 hours a month, you can decide how you're going to write your posts, decide which post you're going to write. You're going to use the formula I gave you for four different types of social media status updates. And then it feels doable again, because then you're not spending 8 hours a day deciding what to say. But then when you do go in for your 15 minutes a day, you're just responding. You're interacting with people. You're making new connections. You're searching for people that you might need. And you might spend a little bit more time in the beginning as you're starting to get used to the outlet. But you will want to just get to the place where you can say, okay, I'm going to pop in for 15 minutes in the morning, or I'm going to pop in three times a day for 5 minutes, and I'm going to respond to people who have reached out to me. I might publish a post. I might do something else. But you're being strategic about the times that you put online. And so as you do that, just consider that you want to provide some consistency, some routine to your social media. I think that social media has to come off of a to-do list and it has to go into our calendar. And until we can make that something that we do regularly, we're not going to get regular results. We're going to get sporadic results because we only do it when we think about it. Now, weekly, I spend 15 minutes a week looking at my statistics and looking at my posts and saying, okay, which post got the most thumbs up and likes? Which post got the most comments? Which post got the most shares on LinkedIn? Which post got the most interest or eyeballs or views or whatever that is, so that you can see what's working, what's not working. Now, in the beginning, if you're just getting started, you might not see very much response. Probably takes about 4 to 6 weeks to get to a place where you have a healthy LinkedIn profile or a healthy company profile to make sure that you are really getting the right information out to your audience, that they're reacting to your information, that they think that your information is valuable, but give it that time. So be consistent in how you do it, but make sure that you are doing it on a regular basis so that you're getting that groove for you and for your audience. The worst thing that you can do for social media is to post sporadically and be involved sporadically. Because if they go click on your page and it looks like you haven't posted in a long time, they're going to be like, oh, well, they don't really play here. And LinkedIn is not my primary source. I use it sometimes, and I'll share with you how I use it the best in just a minute when we talk about just kind of the ways to really dive into LinkedIn, the unique tools that are available there that are different than other places. But I have a lot of clients who are in there daily, and we're helping them. We're making posts for them. And it really is like a well-oiled machine, and it works like magazines. People are coming to them for content. They're coming to them for connection. They're really networking with the individuals and the clients and the prospects that really matter most to them. It can also be good for an association. So whether, I don't know if you have this or not, but if you have an association page, it can be a place for you and your members to have business conversations where you can ask them questions and they can respond and they can reply with information, they can share tips and advice, and it can be a place for even your association to network or other associations that you might be part of. You can also create, I noticed that you guys have, coming up, you have a big conference happening in September. You could create a group page for attendees of that event, and you can share tips and information throughout the conference. You can get people to sign up for that. But then after the conference, you can continue to nurture those individuals, remind them about chapter events, help them start chapters or whatever that is. But think about how you can use that in your own business. Do you have an event? Could you create a group page just for attendees on LinkedIn and nurture them through that private group or through a public group? But that can be a really great way to bring people into LinkedIn. Now, before we leave those types of status updates, I want to share with you the best times of day to post. There are a couple of different times that are key. So in the 7 to 8 o'clock hour in the morning, if people are commuting on public transit, they might be sifting through their LinkedIn profile, so you can be posting in the morning. Another good time to check is at about 11 to 12. Now, this is in the time zone that you're in the most or the time zone that you want to nurture. And for those of you that have businesses or audiences that span all the U.S. time zones or even international time zones, you'll want to be strategic about it. But I suggest that you start by posting in the time zone that you are in because that's where your most of your connections are going to be to start with, and you want to make sure that you're posting at the key times. And then if you know, hey, listen, I might be in Pacific time zone because that's where I am, but a lot of my audience is in Central time zone because I did a few events there. So you might spend a day or two posting in these time blocks specifically for that time zone. So, again, between 7 and 8 a.m. is a good time to post. Another good time to post is between 11 and 12, right, 12 noon, right before lunch, when people are getting tired and they're starting to sift off into their lunch hour. They're like, oh, okay, what's happening on LinkedIn? I might go waste a little bit of time there. There is a small afternoon lull when people are getting the 3 p.m. shakes at their business desk, and so they might go in between 3 and 4 p.m. But early evening, between 5 and 6 p.m., again, at the end of the commute or at the end of the day, people are saying, hey, I'm just going to check my LinkedIn before I go home for the day or on my commute on the way home. That's another good time. Now, some social media outlets, and these are different for other outlets, some social media outlets are really big at night. People are pulling their phones out and sifting through Pinterest and Instagram, for example, in the late hours. In fact, Pinterest, for example, 70% of their posts happen between 8 and midnight, which is just crazy to me, a four-hour block in an entire day. That's because ladies are sitting in their bed sifting through their Pinterest account before they fall asleep. Now, that's not the case for LinkedIn. LinkedIn tends to be more tied to the strategic and the traditional workday, so you'll want to be posting for greatest results in those three time blocks, 7 to 8 a.m., 3 to 4 p.m., and 5 to 6 p.m. Oh, and the other one that I said, between 11 and 12, those four time blocks. Catching people in the times that they specifically get on LinkedIn. Okay, now we've shared a little bit about the overview of LinkedIn, some statistics and information about the professional network. We've talked about the four different types of social media status updates. I'm going to share with you some specific things that make LinkedIn a little bit different by way of features that you can tap into as authors, as publishers, as editors, whatever it might be, that will help you and really reach some of those audiences. We've talked a little bit about groups, so you can go in and find groups and in companies or organizations so that groups work very similarly to they do on Facebook. You can create a group for a specific amount of individuals. You can create a group for an association. You can create a group for all of your authors. You can create a group for your readers if you wanted. So there's just a lot of great ways that you can go in and create individual groups. So consider, how could a group of the people that already follow me be of value, and how can I add value to them on LinkedIn? Now, you'll be posting within the group versus posting on your profile or posting in both places, but it can also make people feel like they're part of an inner circle if there's a specific group that's just for them. So that can be a great way that you can use LinkedIn. Another way I use LinkedIn really consistently, and this is the one thing that I do for my business, is I do LinkedIn posting articles. So you can write an article just like you would a blog post and post it on LinkedIn. And when you log in and you look at your homepage where your feed is, and you can sift through articles and comments and information and tips from other people, you can post articles, and it just says, would you like to share an update? Would you like to update upload a photo, or would you like to write an article? And so you can write an article. Now, in most cases, I do not recommend dual publishing online. So if you're going to publish an article on your blog, I would never recommend that you send the same blog to your publisher or to an author or to a third-party resource, because duplicate content is really bad online. Google sees it as you trying to skirt the algorithm, and so they can actually deem both sites if there's duplicate content in multiple places. That's not the case for LinkedIn behind a social media wall, and while it's not as searchable outside of LinkedIn as it is on LinkedIn, though it still can be searchable, and if it gets really popular, if you have some keywords and somebody was Googling it, a LinkedIn article might come up. It has a layer of protection there from the Google Analytics, so it won't hurt as much. So I do a lot of dual posting. I'll post on my blog, and then maybe a week later I'll post it on LinkedIn, but it can be a great way to share additional resources and also be one of my status updates providing value, because I'll be sharing an article. Now, my articles are a lot like listicles, so I'm sharing the top three tips for being successful at the workplace, or the top three tips for being successful with your team, or the five ways failure has taught me to succeed. And so what does that work in your business? Because people think to themselves, wait a minute, there's four things. I need to know what all four of them are. So you're more likely to get people to read all the way to the bottom if there's a list, and it makes it easy for people to skim. So if they are on their phone, or if they are quickly checking before their boss comes in for a meeting, that they can quickly skim an article, but they're more likely to read all of it because they want to see what all of the pieces are. So all of your posts don't have to be lists. I found them to be successful for me and for my clients, but if that doesn't work for you and something else works, great. I just share that as a quick tip, ways to write an article. Now, LinkedIn also got SlideShare. So SlideShare is a resource where you can upload a PowerPoint presentation, and you can put audio to it. It can be a recording like this, or it can be music or something. And you could, if you wanted to upload a SlideShare presentation or a PowerPoint in some way, shape, or form, is another way to provide content. Those are really popular on LinkedIn, and you can share those through your network. Now, one thing that I hope that you will use is that you will update your profile. And when you update your profile, just right there at the top, you can click profile. It will give you a little button that says profile strength on the right, and it will tell you what else you need to make your profile really successful. It might say, hey, update your headshot, or update your tagline, and then it will give you an option to update all of those things. And so as you do that, it will also show you your posts that you've written. It will show you a summary of your tags that you've chosen. You can choose to add more of those. You can add videos to your page. So if you have a video promoting a book, or if you have a video promoting your company or a commercial, you can add videos to your profile, both as individual profiles and also businesses. And the more multimedia that you have, the more content that you have out there, and people are consuming. And you talk about how people like to consume information. Some of them like videos, some of them like audios, some of them like other documents. And so you can provide all of those things through LinkedIn. That just gives you another way to share content information to help people experience you as a brand or even as an individual by getting extra information. I also think that one of the things that is great to utilize is the referrals and recommendations. So if you've had people who really liked your books, or if you have reviews from other people, you can add those, or you can ask someone else to add them, and then they automatically get published so people can see the information that you've worked with. But there's also a section on skills and endorsements, and people can endorse you just really quickly. Instead of writing a full review, they can say, hey, I know Michelle as public speaking, and I'm going to endorse her for public speaking. And so you can get individual things there. So you might go in and you can add skills. So you can say, hey, I want people to endorse me for writing, or I want people to endorse me for publishing, or event planning, or editing. And so you can add those, and then they will start to pop up for other people, and they will say, hey, I know Susie Bills. Do you know Susie Bills as an editor? And I can click yes. And it will list that as an option, and so then it will go into her list of skills and endorsements. And or you can just wait and see what people endorse you for, but you can add those skills, and then it will start to get shared to your connections. And they can say, yes, I know her for that, or no, I don't know her for that, or whatever. But that can be just a really quick way that people can see you and get an idea of who you are. You can add your business information. You can add your educational information. You can also join those groups. So whatever colleges or universities you went to, I used to work for Novell. I was a sales trainer, and so I provide product but also success and sales training for the sales reps on our floor. And so, but there's a group for past Novell alumni. So I can join that group of people who used to work at Novell. But think about that, because groups can be a great way that you can be involved and you can know some on your profile, and they will show up so that you can quickly go and find them and contribute them. There is a group called LDS Professionals that you can go in, and there's lots of great conversations happening in there about, hey, who do you like to use this as a resource, or what do you do for X, Y, and Z, or how do you share with your family that you care about the gospel? And so there are some LDS networks that already exist that you could become part of and that you can contribute to. Now, you don't post the same things. If you're joining a group of someone else's, you wouldn't post the four different types of status updates every day, and you wouldn't post three times a day. But you dive into the group, you sit there for a couple of weeks, see the kinds of information that people are talking about, and you can start to network with professionals from all across the world and throughout the country in specific niches, and you can start to build relationships like you would at a networking event, only it's digital. And so start to sift through and do some searches of people that you'd like to be with and see what kind of groups already exist. Might save you some time from starting a new group. And there are benefits of also starting your own group on specific subjects as well. But it could be good to have those kinds of conversations, but specifically diving into the conversations that are already happening and networking with the individuals that are already there. So those are my best tips for diving into LinkedIn. Obviously, it's a full beast, and we could talk about LinkedIn for 8 hours. I've tried to share with you some of the top tips and information that I feel like are important to help you really get the handle on the beginning, but also the kind of intermediate level of LinkedIn. But more than anything else, I really hope that you'll give it a try. I hope you don't just look at this as just adding juice to an already busy hand of marketing, but that you'll make decisions, you'll set the plates down, you'll make room for the things that are the most important, and that actually play with it for a couple of weeks. And if you don't feel like it's meeting your trifecta for marketing, you can stop using it. If you don't feel like it's reaching, that you're sharing the right messages or that you're reaching the right masses, then you can decide this is the wrong medium for you. But give it a try, dive in, find some of the groups, share some information, share the article, start to see if it can work for you, and if it's not one of your primary or secondary, that's okay. You can direct people to other places, but at least you've given it a shot, and especially if you want to connect with other like-minded individuals professionally, LinkedIn is a great place to do that. So again, if you have any additional questions, as you can tell, I could go on for a long time, but if you have any additional questions, I'd be happy to answer them for you. You can reach out to me on LinkedIn. I am Michelle McCullough on LinkedIn. You can also reach out to me on via email at Michelle, M-I-C-H-E-L-L-E, at speakmichelle.com. But more than anything, thank you so much for joining me for this call. I honor you for the hour that you gave me. I have lots of hopes and dreams someday to publish my own OBS books and things, so it's been fun to sit around on your website and to figure out how you can connect and network with each of you. And I look forward to seeing you share your messages, your company, and who you are as a brand and a business. But more than anything, sharing your message with wider audiences, with international audiences, by utilizing social media. And a lot of the tips that I talked about today can be used in any outlet. The four different types of social media status updates, that works on Facebook, and it works on Twitter, and it works on Instagram, and it works just as well as it works on LinkedIn. But the principle of choosing one or two, if you decide that LinkedIn isn't for you, you could find something else that you could do that would really work. But the goal is to give people information, provide a sense of connection, and whether you do that here or professionally with members in this professional network, or you do it through another social outlet, I hope that you'll remember to provide them with the information they need to really connect with them as an individual and brand and let them connect with you as well. Because though we live in a digital world, people are still craving personal connections, and that's why social media is so popular. So again, thank you so much for listening. If you have any questions, I hope that you will reach out. I wish you all the best in your social media success. And as I like to say at the end of anything, there's lots of tips and resources and information out there that will help you be successful. I am here to cheer you on, and I hope that these tools and resources will be valuable to you. But I know that I'm here and cheering you on, and wish you all the best, and hope you make it happen. Have a great day.